101.5 FM proudly presents The Community Kitchen with Annette Long.
And welcome to Community Kitchen 2023. Isn't it amazing to think that we've actually progressing through those 20 years so quickly? Of course, we have to start off the year talking about food trend, isn't there? Some pretty wacky things happening, but you know, it's a little bit like fashion, isn't it? One year we've got short skirts, next year it's long, so you can't sort of alter it. But these things are really interesting. There's a lot of nostalgia food, and I think it just goes to show that you can only do so much, and then we have to turn around and we have to reinvent the wheel once again. But something that's really interesting, potato chips, for example, or crisps, not the actual hot ones, they're starting to get used as a bit of a scoop idea. So if you've got a dip or whatever. So I think that we've gone through all the different crackers, we've gone through all the different breads. So now let's have a look. We're going to see some really interesting types of crisps, I think, that'll come out of that. Prawn toasts are back on the menu. I love prawn toast. I remember that years ago you'd go to a Chinese restaurant. That was just part of the ordering. And then we stopped thinking about how good they were. It's a little bit like the prawn cocktail. It was just getting the little bit of a trend on the back of last year. Let's hope we continue with that one because it's a great way to use beautiful fresh prawns. But prawn toasts are really good. Soft serves apparently are back in. And I'm sure we're going to see some really groovy ones because there's so many lovely geladas and things like that. And I think if people are looking at what they're eating, then you want to start to get some different flavours and goodies like that. I tried one the other day, which was a gelati, and it was a white chocolate and coconut. And as you know, I love coconut. So it was a really lovely, you know, scrummy sort of thing. And I'm not a big ice cream fan. So something like a gelato is really nice. But sundaes are coming in too. And, you know, it made me think back to when I was a kid. And I mean, I date myself so much on this show. But the ice cream with the strawberry with the crushed nuts. I mean, seriously, do you remember that? Or a banana sundae in those lovely long glass plates, I guess you'd call it, or bowl, where they'd split the banana and you'd get that really excellent strawberry topping. Honestly, I don't think that I've tasted that for years, that same, not too sweet, a little bit tart. And I can remember making a strawberry and rhubarb jam, which failed miserably, and it ended up as a sauce. And I tell you what, it had that really nice strawberry tang that the strawberry sauce used to have. So, I mean, maybe it's something you can do, have a bit of a play. But I think a sundae is fantastic. Now, new words to look for. I love this when you start to think about all the little things. Swicy food. Now, that's sweet and spicy. So if you go into a shop and you see that it's there, it's not a spelling mistake. It's S-W-I-C-Y. And that's when you see things like, you know, you might see a, say, for Korean, for example, they might do a really spicy chili, but use a strawberry jam as the sweet blend to that. So there's going to be some little groovy things. There's always some new trends. You have to expect it. And another thing is the tepache, and that's a Mexican drink of fermented pineapple and spices. And there's going to be things like spicy margaritas. And I think that the alcohol's changing. There's a lot of people who just do not have any alcohol at all. And we've always had that in our life. But I think that you'll notice that there's a lot more of that happening now with the different types of foods. And I think Mexican might be a little bit on the rise, but also the curries. And these are going to be a little bit different. But I think one thing that I've sort of seen is there's a lot of mood foods. And mood foods, I mean, let's talk about what a mood food is. Makes you feel good, doesn't it? But the thing is that with the with some of the mood foods, they I'm so sorry, my phone. With the mood foods, we're talking about temperature levels too. So say, for example, a curry. That's so good on a hot day because you get that sweat, then it cools you down. And there's a lot of different things. But In the past, we had the pumpkin spice, we have kimchi, we had the Korean cuisine, but now we're going into a whole different type of section. And I think that's really interesting. Mushrooms, apparently, there's a really big thing with mushrooms going on, which is fantastic because I really love them. But they say that there's so many different types of mood foods out there. And these spicy foods, be interesting to see what happens there. But chili duck candy, chocolate candy bars and goodies like that, they're really going to put some different dynamics into the food. But I think we've seen some interesting things happening with chili, which I love that because I think it just makes it more interesting. And I think sometimes, you know, a lot of people, when you say, oh, I love Indian, oh, I don't like it's too spicy. But it's not spicy. It's flavoursome. It's got this beautiful blend of flavours. And I think that that is something that we really have to relish, that these things are not always as you perceive them to be. You can have a lower heat in those dishes, or you can have a hot heat. But our whole idea, I think, is those beautiful gravies, for example, with Indian food. And I think they're talking about some really interesting types of curries. I mean, the Japanese curries, we've had those for a little while, and they've been just beautiful. They have a whole different type of flavour. But there's lots of different options, and I think that that's nice. You know, I guess now we've got so many things happening, don't we, like TikTok, Instagram, you know, Pinterest. The other day, my daughter-in-law made this great salad, and I'd sort of lost a couple of the things, and she said, oh, and, you know, had this and that. And I just went into Pinterest and put this base salad in, and I tell you what, there would have been about 100 recipes, and I was able to go down and find it. So someone had actually got it off Pinterest, and it just moved through the crowds. So I think that at the end of the day, there's lots of different opportunities to actually have a little look and just find out, you know, what's happening, because they're talking about a tarka dal and related dishes. So there's more, lots of dishes with like different split chickpeas, blends of spices and goodies like that, vegetarian curries and curry adjacent dishes will likely to trend high due to economic supply chains. But naturally, the X factor in any food is how people respond to the flavours and the textures. And I think that's really quite interesting. When you think about curry, we've got the lovely Thai curry, Malaysian curry, Japanese, Indonesian, and that's good to look out for. I think that'll make life really interesting. Now, with the mushrooms, there's so many, like the shiitakes, the portobellos, the crimonite, all the other flavours there. The oyster mushrooms alone, you notice them, the tiger mane mushrooms, you know, they really do have such good nutritional and health benefit, as well as also having that beautiful flavour. Another thing, butter boards, you've noticed it. You know, we've had the grazing board, and now I notice we've got these butter boards, and apparently they're going to be a sensation. So I'm going to have a little chat about some of those ideas for the butter board. I don't know about it. I don't know whether I'm there yet with the butter board. The tin fish, it started with the popular TikTok video Tin Fish Date Night, and now it's nicknamed Hot Girl Food. And you can even join Tin Fish of the Month clubs. I must say that there's some beautiful tin fish out there, but they call it for your next party, you can have a sea shooteray board. So there's lots of interesting little bits and pieces. In the next week or so, we'll have a look at those. But today, we're going to have a look at lunchboxes, because we've got a lot of kids going back to school. And of course, next week we've got Australia Day coming up, so we'll be looking at some great recipes next week. But I thought we'd have a little look at lunchboxes in our next section, and give a few ideas for the little ones, and in the the time after that at the family table, we're going to have a look at some ideas for those lunchbox because I don't know about you, but I'm a bit of a school kid at heart because I still pack my lunch. I love to have that nice surprise of something really yummy to eat, especially when you've been working. I think you need something refreshing, and there's so many beautiful products that we have at the moment with summer that there's certainly a lot of options. So when I come back, we're going to talk about the kids' lunchboxes. So thanks for joining me. It's 2023 and Community Kitchen is back, and we've got some really exciting things planned this year. Always nice to have a bit of a change of theme in our Community Kitchen, and I think we'll definitely be doing that. So hang about and I'll be back very shortly.
We'll be right back with more from the Community Kitchen on 101.5 FM.
And welcome back. You're with Annette on Community Kitchen, and we're talking lunchboxes. We've got a lot of little kids going to be going to school, and when you think about it, you know, they probably get their lunch prepared. Mum reminds them there's something to eat. And I thought about that, and I thought, you know, number one, when you're doing any lunchbox, be prepared. I think that is always the way. I know that I follow this fantastic mum who cooks lots of great things. When I say follow, of course, we're talking about social media things. But, you know, she does spend the time when she buys her produce to give it a good wash, present it, bag it up so that when you open the fridge, it's not a big drama getting that food out. And when school starts, of course, if you've got a couple of children starting school, it's a bit of a rush. But I thought, you know, for the little ones starting, why not start to blend them into it prior to school? Just see how they go. See how they handle that lunchbox. See how they handle the portion you give them and see whether or not they like that food. I mean, I know they change their mind every 2 seconds, but I'm just thinking, they've got another good week or so before they go back to school. So if, rather than giving them their lunch on a little plate or something, start to give them that little pack lunch each day to see whether they can handle that drink bottle, to see whether they remember to get their spoon to eat their yogurt that you've so beautifully chopped up the fruit and put in and presented nicely, or that lovely creamy rice or the poached fruit you've put in that. See whether or not they actually dig how to eat that, because there's no use you presenting it to them if they're not going to be able to clasp that. And I think that I just noticed with my granddaughter, she's 2.5. One day she loves an omelette, the next day she hates it. You know, the kids are all over the shop with food. And I think having a variety of small things. I know that we've had some fantastic guests on our show here who've talked about, you know, giving kids the right nutrition. And I know that when they talk about the little ones, they do talk about making the serves small so you don't have this whopping big sandwich that confronts you. And you don't feel like that because you're only little and you want to go and play and you don't have time for that. So small things are really, really good. So maybe some little ideas with that. And even when you think about, you know, your eggs and that, I personally do not like biting into a boiled egg. I don't know what it is. It's just a textural thing for me. And yet I love eggs. I love a soft poached egg or a soft boiled egg with, you know, the old fashioned toast idea. But a hard boiled egg for me, I love it in a salad. I really enjoy that with, you know, beans and a nice dressing and stuff like that. But for me, I'd prefer if it was a, you know, a piece of omelette chopped up in a lunchbox or something, if I had to eat it like that. So once again, you get that diverse likes and dislikes of food, and thinking along those lines, and you have to think about whether or not you start to put, you know, what sort of food you put in there. Even with their drinks, you know, like I know that when I was a kid, we just didn't have that facility of having great little chill lids that keep everything nice and fresh and beautiful. So that's another thing to consider. The options you have now for lunchboxes are just stunning. There's some really great ideas out there. And summertime, of course, you want to keep it nice and crisp and fresh. And I think that our fruits and veggies are just, you know, out of the world at the moment. One thing I've been taking to work, which, you know, you think back about, oranges, and I just cut my oranges up into little cubes, and I just, like a kid, I guess, I like that about mid-morning that you just have a, you know, half an orange, for example, and it just is so nice. You don't have to peel it. You don't have to get messy. I just got my fork from lunch, and I can just spike a bit of that and eat it. So when you think of the kids' mouth size, think of the portions that you give them and all those little tricks that you have. And that's the one good thing about getting together with other mums, because you just spread the word about something that works, something that's exciting, and something that kids like. Because I tell you what, talk to me in 2 months' time, you're going to be as bored as anything making lunches, because they come back, they're not eaten, throw them in the lunch or the chookies in the rubbish, or the chookies get them. So trying to make things easy for yourself and exciting for the kids is definitely a challenge. So we'll talk about that during the year. But I thought that this idea of just seeing how they eat and whether or not they can handle it is a really quite a good idea to get prepared for school in start of January. When we come back, we're going to be talking about some of those ideas for your lunchbox. And of course, you're listening to Community Kitchen on 101.5.
You're listening to the Community Kitchen with Annette on 101.5 FM.
And welcome back to Community Kitchen. Talking about lunchboxes, I always think the one thing is be prepared. I think, have your lettuce washed? Whenever I cut my lettuce from the garden, I always give it a bit of a wash, because we've got a few trees around. There's always bits of leaves and rubbish in there. But I think I gave a lettuce to someone just recently, and there's a little frog in there. So, you know, give it a bit of a wash, because at least you've got that all ready to clean. You've just got to chop at them and put in the lunchbox. Boil some eggs. Have them done. Have your beans steamed if you want to. I think snow peas or sugar snap peas are fantastic in a salad. But vermicelli noodles, for example, if you have some of those and you make a lovely vermicelli salad for yourself, and let's talk about sharing this lunchbox idea, because a vermicelli salad for an adult at night becomes the rolls for the kids, and they do love it because it's just so nice, just with maybe a little bit of carrot, some cucumber, not too much more in there, maybe some bean sprouts. They're crunchy, they're really nice and cool, and they're yummy, and kids like them. I'm amazed at how many children like them, as well as with the sushi. I know the sushi rice is sweet, but they do love that sort of umami flavours of the seaweed and the sweet, which I think is fantastic. Frittata, if you're making a frittata or if you're making a quiche for dinner, why not make some little mini muffins? Put them in a little paper liner within your muffin tin, so that way, you know, even the patty paper is fantastic. It's just enough for them to have something for lunch. Keep it simple. Don't put too many flavors in there, because, you know, if it's just simple corn, for example, corn and cheese, how nice is that? It's lovely. It's so nice and easy. Now, with your omelets, if you make an omelet, there's no reason why, if you just put a little bit of filling in that, whether it might even be some chopped up ham, once again, some corn, some grated cheese, if you roll that up into a tight roll and just cut little circles of that, that's a real good bite size for a child for lunch. And it's yummy and it's delicious, even for yourself. As I said, sushi rice, it's sweet. But if you make enough of that, you can make yourself a really good bowl for lunch with some yummy things in there. At leftovers, I mean, I think that a lunchbox to me is a really good carrier of a leftover from dinner the night before. But it also becomes a really good prep thing for the lunchbox for kids. Leftover veggies, I really do like the idea. If you're doing, say, for example, some beans for dinner, pull a half a dozen of those out of the steamer and cool them down and put them in the fridge in a container. Kids love them. They love them fresh. But if you're going to do that into a little bit of a rice salad, for example, where you've got some nice beans or some peas and some corn, maybe some chopped up ham if they're a bit of a protein eater like that, and that becomes something that's really delicious and yummy. I think, and not wanting to sound sexist about making ideas about lunches, but you do find that the boys want things for running around. So they want to get it over and done with pretty fast because they do a lot of more active sports. Usually find the girls will do that too, but they're willing to sit and have that bit of a chat. So the whole idea of lunches can change, in my opinion. Now, the fritter. One of the good things about a fritter is, once again, it carries a lot of leftovers and it's absolutely delicious. And you can make so many. I mean, I notice now that the supermarket is selling corn fritters in the freezer. I mean, honestly, they are so easy to make and the variation is beautiful. And if you're cutting the corn from the cob, it just gives it a much more gutsier taste about it. It's very corn orientated and that's delicious. And, you know, for the older ones or the younger ones, depending on whatever they like, make the size accordingly. But I wouldn't mind if I got a lunchbox with some corn fritters in there, a little bit of chili sauce, for example, for the ones who like the sweet chili. And a lot of kids do. They just love it. So that is a really good lunch. It's a good little dip and eat and on the go. And making things rolled up in a salad leaf. There's, you know, the salads that we have nowadays, there's such a variety. The butter crunch, I love them rolled up. You can grate some carrot, maybe a little bit of cheese in there and roll that up. And that becomes a really good carrier for food. Don't forget the old-fashioned pita, the little cups where you can cut them in half and they just become a really good holder for some yummy stuff. And grating. In my salad today, I had a grated carrot, which I put down the bottom of my bowl this morning when I was making my lunch. I put my chopped up tomatoes in there and my spring onions. And then I poured my dressing. And I just made a dressing with some olive oil and some vinegar and some garlic and a little bit of Dijon. And that just sat in the fridge. And I just keep using that and just keep adding to it. And while I was getting other stuff going, I let that sort of sit with those flavors. So they were all sitting in the bottom and then started layering on top with a bit of avocado, a little bit of feta, and then some cucumber and then my lettuce. But it was still delicious for lunch today because the other stuff hadn't sat in the sog. So the stuff that you want to soak up the lovely dressings, put on the bottom. And then go from there. And I think getting all these things together just makes life a lot easier. I think, you know, if you're doing, once again, and you know me, I do tend to talk animal protein when I'm cooking because I'm a carnivore. But if I'm doing, say, for example, chicken thighs, which I'm going to do tonight, I will actually do them in the oven, but I'll also do some sweet potatoes, for example. And I love sweet potatoes and pumpkin and purple onions chopped up with olive oil and cumin. Now, they will become a really good base for a brown rice salad or a really good base for just a great salad, whereby you can put a yogurt dressing with that. Or you can add all the little goodies with it, yogurt and mint. Mixed together is so nice, poured over those vegetables with your dinner at nighttime. And the next day, of course, it transports into a really good salad. Maybe a few olives in there, once again, a little bit of feta, and just keep adding to it. And it becomes so much easier when you've got these little combinations that you've got in your fridge. And I think that having them washed, ready to go, and in containers, certainly adds things, makes things easier and doesn't make it as tricky for you. So I hope that we've maybe inspired you to do a little bit different in the lunchbox. Give those kids that little bit of test trial to see whether they can handle that little sandwich or that roll up or whether they can unwrap the Glad wrap or whatever you're going to use. Because remember, sadly, they're going to be on their own when they get to that that food time. And not that the teachers aren't helping them, but you know, you can't supervise a whole class of children. So helping those the kids get that little bit easier start will make their day a lot more pleasant. So thanks for joining me on the first of Community Kitchen. I'll be back next week and we look forward to a good year together. Thank you very much, and you've been with Annette on 101.5.